Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Each week, we tackle a different issue that's uniquely Portland. So tune in every Saturday to hear a new episode complete with interviews and editorial that helps explain our city. From Portland's leading paper comes a brand new way to engage with the news, sports, arts, and culture. Stick around. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Today is February 6th. We have an awesome episode for you to kick off the month. Let's hope February is awesome. I've got high hopes for the shortest month of the year. We start off the show with the way we always do, with the biggest news stories of the week, everything that's happened, boiled down just for you in 90 seconds. Then we go into the week's main story and finish off with the quote of the week. We got a lot to talk about. Stick around, but first, the 90-second newsflash. Let's see what happened. So the last week of January, we saw a big spike in COVID cases in Oregon. Not good. Inmates are set to receive the COVID vaccine as soon as possible, and this comes after 3,400 inmates have tested positive for COVID, including 42 who have died. White people are getting the vaccine more than people of color, despite people of color being impacted more severely, our records show. The mayor of Portland is getting a security detail after several instances of confrontations with constituents in the past few weeks. House Speaker Tina Kotek is sponsoring a bill that would decriminalize homelessness. People are calling on Representative Diego Hernandez to resign after being accused by several women of sexual harassment. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hank, that 90-second newsflash was not 90 seconds. You owe us more time. But honestly, guys, I have a lot to talk about in the cover story. So can we just get to the cover story? And can we not make a huge deal out of it? Can we just be cool with it? Can we please just be cool with the fact that I'm giving you a little bit less than 90 seconds? Every week we publish a cover story, it's a little bit of a surprise to the general public. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to write about? But there are a few covers that we come back to every single year, and one of those covers is Funniest Five, where we go around and we get the funniest five people in Portland right now. We interview them, we do profiles on them, we talk about their comedy, and that's what we did this week. Over the course of this episode, I interview the person who put together this story, Andy Pruitt, as well as two of Portland's Funniest Five comics. First up, let's listen to excerpts with Andy Pruitt, the editor of the cover story. Warning, the following episode does contain a good amount of language, strong language, F-words, C-words, S-words, you name it. Hide your kids. Back to the episode. Every year, Willamette Week does the Funniest Five, finds the funniest five people in Portland. How do you go about doing that?
Well, we actually don't choose the honorees ourselves. We leave that up to the comic community. So we poll more than 100 people in the biz, in the industry. That includes the comics themselves. That includes club owners. That includes people who book the comedians, and then just sort of like super fans or people who might have a podcast. So just everyone swirling around the stand-up scene is added to this poll, and they will vote for the person they think is the funniest in the city at this moment. And the top five vote getters then become our funniest five comedians.
Are any of these five repeats? Are repeats allowed on the process?
Repeats are not allowed.
What was the overall consensus among the comedians, the comedian network of podcasters and people who book comedians? What's the consensus about doing comedy during this time, during COVID?
That it sucks. I mean, there's no way to get around that. Everyone really misses being on stage. They miss performing live. And everyone I've talked to, at least, whether that's one-on-one, but like in person or distance, of course, or whether that's via like Facebook Messenger, they've said doing stand-up over something like Zoom or Google Meets is just not for them. It doesn't translate. So a lot of them have turned to podcasts. Either they had started podcasts you know, a long time ago, and they sort of have kept them going and really amped things up. Others who maybe didn't have podcasts, they've started podcasts during this time and really taken off with sort of fun, different takes on topics. Others have started sketch shows, and they're uploading those little videos to all sorts of platforms. That could be Facebook, YouTube. One of our funniest five actually became sort of a TikTok hit.
What are these people's main occupations? Are they making money off of comedy, or are they bussing tables like they do in the movies, or are they working day jobs? What's up with that?
I always love to hear what a comic's other profession is. Most of them have another profession because comedy in Portland, it's usually just not paying you enough. So we've got a variety this year. I know the winner, Katie Nguyen, she's a high school teacher. She actually teaches Spanish, which is great. And I had no idea. I've seen her a number of times, and I would have never guessed she was a high school teacher. And of course, she, as an instructor, is dealing with a whole slew of challenges this year, 2020 now into 21, because she's had to convert to online learning. And she said her comedy actually helped prepare her to make that huge shift. Instead of roasting a heckler, she will sort of have a polite talking to, I think, as she put it, just as she would to one of her high school students. The example she gives is she being heckled constantly. And this particular woman at the bar had been very disruptive to all of the comics before her, even that night. So once her set had finished, she actually walks over to the bar, sits down next to the woman, and just kind of says, hey, you know, I think you might be disrupting the comics. And the woman, rather than being belligerent, actually was very apologetic. She was quiet the rest of the night, and she was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. And just shut the hell up and enjoyed the show. And so that seemed to work. And as Katie puts it, a student, if they're acting out like that, they're having an issue, she's learned in her time in education. It means I need attention or I need help. And I think that's a great way to approach someone who's being disruptive, whether that's in the classroom or at a comedy show.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's also a very interesting person that goes and heckles a bunch of comedians and then goes, oh, that wasn't the right way to enjoy a show. And I'm the only one that's doing this. I thought I was doing it right and everyone else was doing it wrong. That's funny.
Yeah.
People talked about being worried about bombing when we get back on a stage, on the stage formats. But I feel like the next comedy show that I go to or improv show or whatever it is, I'm just going to laugh at freaking everything. Like, I'm just going to laugh at everything. So what's the vibe that we're expecting when we go back to comedy, to in-person comedy?
Nobody seemed sure. Everyone seemed to think there would be excitement for it. Everyone's sort of just craving that, can we all get back together in the same room vibe and share a communal laugh? I mean, I think we're all craving that.
At the top of this podcast, I also promised you interviews with the Funniest Five. So let's meet the first of the two people we interview, and that is Tyrone Collins. I'm not going to introduce him. I'm going to let him do the talking. Let's get into it. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Been doing comedy here in Portland for 10 years.
Do you think that you experienced, you know, not getting enough stage time or not getting to the festival due to racism, or do you think that played a role at all, or do you think it was just you know, being a young up and comer?
I don't want to say it was racism. I think it was more of I didn't run in the same circles with certain comedians. You know, like I think in the beginning when I got into comedy here in Portland, I loved it. The comedy scene was freaking amazing, so supportive. Everybody was supporting everybody, and it was a big family atmosphere. And even not getting into Bridgetown, it wasn't a big deal. Hell, I worked at Bridgetown. I volunteered and was a stage manager for Bridgetown. For me, it wasn't about getting in. It was the camaraderie of being around all these different comedians from all over. And I made some great friends from Bridgetown that I still talk to this day, you know. So it wasn't about not getting in. To me, it was just for me, it was just the lack of representation. Everything I've done It was for the lack of representation. For every one black comedian, there was 12 white comedians. I did do a showcase called Fuck Willamette Weekly.
I was getting into that.
And the thing is, in the interview, he said it was because me and there was no women in the Funniest Five that year. It had nothing to do with me.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with me. It was all about there not being no women or non-men representation in that lineup. And I'm looking at, and I was like, we book shows all through Portland. We see these funny ass women, non-men doing shit, and nobody's, how the fuck are none of them, how is this even fucking possible? How? So that's why we did that showcase, Fuck Willamette Weekly. It had nothing to do with me. I didn't give a fuck about not being in the Funniest Five. I could care less. But then there's years I'm looking like, how the fuck, who the fuck did he sleep with? Who did she sleep? Who the dick is that? What the fuck is going on here?
This year's quite different than some of the other years, because this year only one of the Funniest Five is a man, and that is Tyrone. And I wanted to know Tyrone's opinion of this year's group. Rate out of 10, how good is this year's lineup?
This year is amazing. First off, I am honored to be among so many women and non-male participants. Like, I'm honored to be in this group, even mentioned in this group of comedians. These women, they are fucking phenomenal. I think I've worked with everybody.
Now, he might like this year's group, but that doesn't mean that Tyrone doesn't have some ideas, some suggestions as to how Willamette Week can make an even more fair Funniest Five ranking system. He told me those ideas as well.
Okay, let me say, this is what I think Willamette Weekly should do. Okay. My opinion. Okay. They still leave the voting system in, but they don't get the Funniest Five. They just get the crowd to vote on the Funniest 10. And they got 10 of the funniest comedians in Portland. Then they need to either assign someone, or they themselves need to do the legwork to go see each one of these comedians to actually say, okay, they're deaf. That's how they need to narrow it down.
I got a 5-minute clip of you doing 5 minutes at Helium. And you talk about growing up poor, not being able to afford things that, you know,
yeah,
a lot of people don't even think about, whether it's haircuts or Christmas presents. It would be hard for me to open up like that and be so open about that. And you're just super comfortable talking about that issue and making jokes about it that people are laughing at. Was it hard for you to go up and be like, oh, I got to be vulnerable up in here, but I got to seem like I'm not, but I'm, you know, are you vulnerable up there? Or are you just, you know, like it's talking to your family?
It's like, I'm vulnerable. I think I'm pretty open up there because, you know, most of my material is coming directly from my life. Like, that's the only way I can get it. Like, if I seen it, I did it. Like, there's so many stories that, you know, that I tell and that's about my life. And people probably think like, oh, that's so funny, crazy. And I'm like, no, that's for real, man. Like, that's not a fucking joke. I wish it was just material, but like, nah, that was my life. But in like, I think that makes you a better comedian if you're willing to be open like that and just look. This is me, man.
I'm poor. I'm not ashamed. Anybody here grow up poor? Yeah. Sucks growing up poor, don't it? Cause it was five of us growing up. I had four brothers. It was four boys. So things was totally different. Like, for instance, when there's four boys and you're poor, haircuts cost $10 a piece. Was a poor mom paying $40 for four haircuts? No. You know what she did? She paid for one haircut, and all of us had different aspects of the haircut. One of us would have a part with nothing else. One of us have a shape up with nothing else. One of us would have just a nice lineup with nothing else. One of us would just have a little fade on the side with nothing else. We look like shit. But you put us in a straight line, we came together like Voltron. You know what I'm saying?
Now, if you're a fan of the show, you know that we usually interview two people and then we get out of there. But this week, we're doing something different. We interview three people. I know, it's crazy. It's my Valentine's Day gift to you. If your boyfriend or girlfriend forgot, then you got a present from Willamette Week. And that is an interview with Tori Ward, the third person of the episode, another member of the Funniest Five as per Willamette Week and the comedy community. Let's run it. Okay, Tori, thank you so much for joining us. One of the fantastic five fabulous comedians that Portland's got. Yeah. Talk to me about who's Tori? Who are you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a comedian. I'm a Portland stand-up comedian. I'm from, I grew up in Lincoln City. I have been doing comedy for 5 years, if you can count the last year.
Talk to me about what's your writing process? Are you kind of an improviser? Or are you just like, you know, talking to a friend? Do you have a notepad you carry around when you think of something? What's your process?
You know, I kind of just talk everything out. I just pace around and talk it out. Going to open mics is really kind of my writing process, is going to open mics and writing on stage.
I saw a 5-minute clip of yours where you were also talking about some TMI moments. Is it hard to, or was it at first hard to go up on stage and talk about moments that are a little bit uncomfortable or taboo? I should say taboo for the American ear.
No. My first joke that I'm so proud of. Oh man. And I keep trying to rework it and it sounds like the first joke someone's ever written. So I'm like, I can't do it. First joke I ever told on stage and I was like really proud of was about how, it was about tramp stamps. And I was like, I can't believe women get tramp stamps. First joke I wrote was I can't believe that women get tramp stamps. They're so degrading. You know, they're called bullseyes for a reason. That's why if I ever got one, I'd get one on my face because it's like, excuse me, sir, up here, I'm a human being.
That's funny. So like no problem talking about, you know.
No. You know, and then as I've been doing comedy longer, especially as a woman, there's these stereotypes about women comics only talking about sex and only talking about dating and now as I've been doing comedy longer, I've become like, it's really kind of insecure about it. And also as I've been doing comedy longer, it can be really detrimental to not have material that's universal because you lose opportunities because people say, hey, I need somebody who can do 20 clean minutes. And if you don't have 20 clean minutes, then you lost that opportunity.
Right. Do you ever are you about to walk on a stage, you know, kind of idea of the set that you're going to do and you see like a 12-year-old kid in the audience, you're like, okay, that parent's going to have some explaining to do.
Oh God, yes. And some, yes.
Yeah. No, my mom took me to Amy Schumer a while ago when I was younger and she didn't do her homework and that was, there's some silence and conversations on the car ride home. So that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gone to open mics where there were kids there. I've done shows where there were kids there and just thought, what the fuck am I going to talk about? And then just like, at some point, just be like, you know what? It's not my responsibility. This is not my responsibility, not my kid. I didn't bring them. They brought their kid to an open mic. Their kid's going to hear stuff they shouldn't hear.
When we get back to doing shows, are you going to be doing some COVID jokes? Or are you going to say, hey, people came here to forget about COVID and the person before me and the person after me are going to be doing COVID jokes. So I'm talking about something different.
That one. Turn on the news. It's COVID. I turn on all the podcasts I listen to. It's COVID. I listen to a lot of like current event and science podcasts and those are all about COVID and everything. And it's this really stressful, overwhelming thing. And now this album that I was so excited to hear are all also about COVID. And after that experience, I was like, I don't think I want to have a bunch of COVID jokes. I thought I would.
Willamette Week's Funniest Five. Have you followed it? Have you known about it before you got an email saying that you were one of them?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everybody wants to be the Funniest Five every year. Everybody holds their breath to see who it is. And yeah, absolutely.
Can you point out a moment where you're like, oh, I got better you know, this week, or I got better this month when I had three great shows or something like that. Can you point that out?
Looking back through the last 5 years,
I was really bad at comedy until, you know, this moment in 2019 or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I was okay at comedy, and then my dad died and I got better at it. I think it was the experience. I wrote a joke about it. I think it was just being, I think I write really well under duress. And so I was just under a lot of stress and grief, and I came up with some really good bits and some bits that were really ballsy.
With that, let's listen to some Tori Ward stand-up.
So I wait tables at a comedy club, and we had a comic there recently did a whole 5 minutes about how dumb women are. Yeah? Like about how we talk too much, and then about how we don't tell men what we're thinking, and I'm like, pick one, right? You have to choose. Personal autonomy is hard. I'll sign it away. Just give me clear directions. I'm not good at those. I'm a woman. But then he told this charming story at the end about how his girlfriend woke him up in the middle of the night just to tell him that she loved him and then went back to sleep. Like, that dumb cunt, that was the point of the story. I didn't say the C word, it was implied, I heard it. Oh, hard C on it. But it was good advice, good dating advice. Now I know when I wake up a man in the middle of the night, I'm gonna give him the full version, right? We all know the full version. Honey, honey, wake up. Just so you know, I've joined an army and we're taking over the world by hanging men in the streets for their transgressions against women. Also, I love you. And you will not be spared. That's the whole.
With that, let's end the show with quote of the week. Now, this isn't really a quote, it's more of a statement, and it comes from Stumptown Phil at the Oregon Zoo. Now, you've probably heard of Groundhog Day, when Groundhog Punxsutawney Phil comes out and predicts the weather. But Oregon uses a beaver to decide the weather, and that's Stumptown Phil. And Phil agrees with Punxsutawney Phil that we are getting more winter. Now, guys, our beaver has never predicted the weather correctly, and people aren't happy, frankly. It's sad. They're calling for him to be fired. They say he's bad at his job, that he's lazy, his episodes ramble, his jokes aren't funny. They've got so many reasons to not like this little beaver. But you know what? He sticks with it, he does his best, and I think we can all appreciate that much. So let's let him keep his job. Are you with me? You are awesome. Thank you. Folks, that's our episode. Thanks so much for listening to the Dive Podcast, making us a part of your day. I'm Hank Sanders. We've got an awesome show for you next week. What do you say? Same place, same time? Next week, I'll be here. Thanks. See ya. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. Includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.